Thank you again, Mr. Radebaugh. We talked about in the first message the importance of hearing and moving beyond hearing to listening, having that active portion of things. And really, when we're talking, if you've interacted with people, we call these conversations. And conversations are somewhat foundational component of the human experience, because it's through those conversations that we interface, we learn about people. Perhaps you might catch up with an old friend over dinner, maybe with a new person, and share some interesting tidbits about yourself. And those are wonderful opportunities. Let's juxtapose those with, perhaps, hypothetically, trying to decipher what your wife is telling you from the laundry room while you are at the sink washing dishes. Not quite the same level of intimate conversation. There are some difficulties that are extant in that second example. There's more noise. There's external stimuli that are going on. I haven't even talked about the kids running around. He has. All these other things that occur in this hypothetical circumstance that you might encounter. It is more difficult for us to hear, though, what we ought to hear in that second example, as opposed to sitting down, having a nice dinner, and you're chatting, and between bites, with your warm food, which is a strange thing as a parent, meal, or sipping coffee, and just being able to have that conversation. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 7, we see a little bit of this brought out here. This is in the sermon that Stephen is giving. Acts chapter 7, verse 39. He brings up something about hearing, listening, and what's going on around. Something, again, that we mentioned in the first message. Something that we oftentimes mention about the children of Israel, because they saw all the miracles in Egypt. They saw how God interacted with Egypt and with them. They saw all of these things and yet didn't seem to grasp. Even though God was talking, it was like they weren't hearing. They weren't listening. And if they did hear something, it just passively passed by and they're like, oh! And then they remembered something else. It's like they were talking past each other. They weren't conversing. And we see here in Acts chapter 7, verse 39. Acts 7, verse 39. Stephen says, speaking of what was spoken on Mount Sinai, as referenced in verse 38, he says, whom your father, speaking of God, the angel in the wilderness there, having a conversation with him, says, whom your father would not obey, but rejected. Speaking of Israel, says, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. So the word here in your Bible might say obey, if you're reading the New King James Version. That word is hupakaas. Hupakaas. And it actually can also be defined as giving ear. Giving your ear to. Which is an active form of listening. Because it's not just like, oh, your ear's there. If you have an ear to hear, as we read in Revelation 2:7. No, it's not just as if you have an ear to hear. It's like you wouldn't give your ear. You would not take the time, put in the effort to actually listen. So even though God is thundering on Mount Sinai, even though you know that thundering is attached to the very miraculous pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, and that is also attached to your ability to come through the Red Sea and escape from Pharaoh, and that is also attached to what even got you out of that predicament in the first place through the death of the firstborn, the Passover. And even though that thundering is attached to every single one of the plagues, and again, we went over those, and we see that and how God just decimated everyone else, still not willing to give their ear to hear and to do that. So in this second message today, we talked about the importance of needing to not just passively hear, but to actively listen to what God is saying. Today, in this second message, I'd like to talk about developing our ears to hear in that way. Developing our ears to listen to what God is actually saying. Attenuating our ears to a certain frequency, if you will. All right? The point I'd like to start with is that humility is required to hear. Humility is required to hear. In the example that I shared, hypothetically, right? If my wife is in another room and she's doing something, and I hear her call to me, and I'm doing something, and there's all these other things going on. If I actually want to hear my wife, I have a choice. I can shout back and I can say, I can't hear you right now. How about you come out here when it's you're done and you can talk to me? Or if I actually want to hear what she has to say, I could say, you know what? I really do want to hear what she has to say. I can put a pause on what I am doing, and I can go to her, have the eye contact, and I can go and I can hear what she has to say. That's a bit of putting yourself second. It's like, because we all think that whatever we're doing at the moment is the most important thing. I don't know how you work. That's generally how I work. I don't do dumb things, so all my stuff is very important. Perhaps you think like that too. But I could put my stuff to the side. I could humble myself in that fashion. Give grace and go to her. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 21. Again, humility is required to hear. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, or humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I love how this is stated, because it's almost like how Paul will bring you on, and you're like, you have this obvious conclusion at the end. Obviously, Paul, right? This is how we think. Because like, you couldn't actually... Are you unwilling to receive the implanted word, which will save your soul, right? It's like, oh, no, I don't really want to be saved. I'd rather ignore it. Because in order to have the word, the implanted word, which is able to save our soul, we must listen and receive it with meekness, with humility. If we want to be saved, again, remember what we said earlier, what we covered in the first message? We want to be able to have hearing of God's word, which produces faith, right? And faith, understanding, and life. And so humility is required to hear. Isaiah 66, verse 2, God tells us where his focus is. He tells us where his focus is. And this is such a huge, important thing to remember. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, it says, in the latter half, on this one, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Because we all love to have conversations with people who don't want to listen to us. No. I think one of the highest marks we can give to someone is like, oh, I was talking with him and I really felt heard. They listened. It's one of the best gifts you can ever give someone is listening to them, hearing them, and they're actively engaged in that. And that means we are putting aside us and perhaps what we think we might need to do at that time. But this is speaking of the implanted word, which can save our soul. You know, God saying, please, I'd like to give this thing and save you. And we're like, I'd rather not. That's what Israel said. But we can say the same thing again. And over time, if we become hard of hearing and we allow the hearing loss to occur, then we can have a difficult time coming to that point of humility. Again, it says, on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. It's our responsibility to take on, to manifest this. I don't even like to call it a persona, because this is just who we should become, right? Because God resists eyes see, but they don't. They have eyes to see, but they don't see. They have ears to hear, but they don't hear. They're unwilling to do that. This is speaking about our willingness to humble ourselves. God is not going to work with people who are unwilling to humble themselves. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Much of Proverbs is talking about the pursuit of one thing in opposition to the other. That one thing is wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Seek wisdom. As opposed to folly and foolishness. Pursue wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Hearing isn't just that passive thing. But if you hear something and you increase learning, it means you're acting upon that. You're moving from just having it tickle the little hairs in your cochlea to having that message go to the brain going like, oh, hold on, what did I hear? Oh, I think that's my wife's voice in the house, right? Act upon that. The wise man hears, not only hears, but whatever he hears, he will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. This is an interesting thing because we have this juxtaposition of movement in a person. Hears and increases learning. So he comes to understanding. Then the man who has understanding, a man of understanding, will go back and listen to wise counsel. So it keeps going. It feeds on itself. It's this beautiful loop. Now we know that the Word of God is the foundation of knowledge, and you can go and keep hearing. So what God says is like, come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to work with you. Come listen to my Word. So our key here, again, as we look at humility, it's required to hear. When we have a humble and a teachable spirit, that is the essential component to developing spiritual ears. If we're going to have those ears to hear, we need to have humility. A second thing that we can do to develop ears to hear, we must tune out the world's noise. We must tune out the world's noise. If we're going to be able to hear, remember we talked about listening is an active thing and not just a passive hearing, but to listen means you're focusing. So you hear all this stuff and we focus in. I think a great example of this as an individual is Elijah as he's there in the cave, whether it's thunder and lightning and fire and an earthquake. Well, he knew the voice to listen for, and it was a still small voice. And at that point, he goes outside, right? So if I'm going to sit there and have a conversation with my wife, I need to tune out the world's noise. I might actually even shut the stove fan off or turn off the water, right? There are things you can do to set yourself up for success in order to be able to tune out that other noise, to stop the cacophony that's around. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. See, because sometimes, and I think that this is one of the reasons why camp is so lovely, but it is a different level or type of engagement than the Feast of Tabernacles is. Because at camp, what we do is we take the youth and all the volunteers who are there. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I'm saying that probably more for myself than you because you already noted it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But at camp, what we do is we take the kids fully out. We talk about producing a zone atmosphere. But no one else is there for the most part. We really reduce the amount of interaction that anyone who's not serving at that camp or there at camp as a camper has. We try to have only our staff there and no one else. And so they're very protected, if you will. There's no other noise that's coming in other than what they have themselves and what is being taught at camp. Now, when you go to the feast, well, this is one of the reasons why it's difficult. Because guess what? You still have the noise of the world. You still have that other noise. And you have to figure out, okay, where's my focus going to be? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We're admonished, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Remove yourself from the noise. And like I said, I could go to my wife. Get all the extra noise gone, right? Be in a different position to be able to actually have a conversation, to hear, to listen, to respond. come out of the world. Do not touch what is unclean. Don't listen to those other things. We know that Satan is the prince and the power of the air and the airwaves and all the things that are going on. There's so much. Of course, language is just a scratching the surface of stuff. But there are so many things that he puts out there that we have to tune out. 1 John chapter 2. If you'll turn there with me, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We are advised here. This is wonderful advice, but not always wonderful to hear, good to give, hard to do when we're in the midst of it. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are all sorts of things that we find that are lovely noises, and we could listen to them, the instruments, the artisans. We're like, oh, it's beautiful. And we can be drawn into it like a siren song. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What's brought back into this? Pride and lust, selfish desires. Guess what that isn't? It's not humility. It's not a humble and contrite heart saying, okay, God, you tell me what I need to listen to. God says, here, these are the words of life and salvation. And we might say, well, I'll listen to something else. I think I can find salvation in a different way. But that's not how it works. It takes a humbling of ourselves, not to be the one who's like, I know what I need to listen to. And it's not you, Dad. I'm going to listen to something else. Essentially, that's what we're saying to God when we're not willing to tune out the world and say, I want to listen to somebody else tell me what I should be doing. But the only words of life are in this book. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 verse 2. We're talking about tuning out the world's noise. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world. If we do that, those little hairs, spiritual hairs on our cochlea are going to fall flat. We won't be hearing the things. It's like, you know, when you're I know this was for young men, so I'll speak for my background. You get a car and you want to put a stereo system in, poof, 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 make the thing thump, get a good stereo system. We're all just making all those little hairs die. Right? Can't hear anything. Oh, I want to listen to what I want to listen to. You're going to hurt your ears, your mom said. Or somebody else said, turn that down. It's not safe. It's not healthy. Oh, I know better. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wouldn't it be amazing? We were going over to Dana Partian's house for a gathering, and my kids were all telling me how there's this horribly loud, high-pitched sound. And all of us adults were like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's got one of those things that I think scares away pests or whatever. None of the adults could hear it. All the kids are going like, ah, what is that noise? They could hear it. What would it be like? I'm not saying we all want to hear that high-pitched noise, but what would it be like to have hearing renewed and restored? We know that he's going to have the blind see and the deaf are going to be able to hear. There is so much to that promise. Would we have a renewed faith and excitement about following him if our hearing, our spiritual hearing, was restored? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is his will? His will is that we would be saved. He wants to give all what my ear, what God has given me, because you hear all these other voices that are also, and I'm like, I just want to be able to hear this person. To be able to tune in to God and tune out the world's noise. We must, if we're going to have ears to hear, we have to have humility. Noise. A third thing that we can do to develop ears to hear. Hearing must be followed by action. Again, this is the same sort of concept of moving from hearing to listening. That active listening portion of things. Hearing must be followed. As a parent, I will tell you, the litany of things that I say, and it's a lot, you probably already know that. There are a lot of things that you say. What makes you feel certain that you have been? When there's an action that follows. It could be a yes, Dad. It could be a yes, Mom. It could be you start seeing movement. Action happens. Otherwise, I don't know. Did I miss on the encoding process? Was I too far away? Did I not do my due diligence to make sure that I could have a good conversation? You're left wondering. If we're going to talk about hearing, this is the wonderful thing about, we'll turn back there, but let's go to James 1:22. Hearing must be followed by action. Otherwise, there is no certainty in anyone's mind as to whether or not anything was heard. James chapter 1, verse 22. Wonderful spot to talk about taking action and not just hearing. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." What do we read about in Ezekiel? Oh, yeah. Ezekiel, great message. Powerful. But they didn't do anything with it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we don't move ourselves, and nobody's going to move you, I'm not going to move you, your spouse won't move you, your friends can't move you. We each have to make that decision ourselves as to whether we're going to be moved by what we hear to do something. And if we aren't, James is very clear here, we're lying to ourselves. If we don't actually do something after what we hear, if we're not inspired to look deeper into the Word of God about something or strike up more of a conversation about how we can implement that, we're deceiving ourselves. If we deceive ourselves, if we're not following and abiding by it, the truth is not in us, as it says in other verses. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 47. We had a great sermonette on this not too long ago. Luke chapter 6, we'll go to verse 47 and 48. Luke 6, verses 47 and 48. This is within the parable of the building on the rock. It's not really a parable, it's a lesson of building on the rock. But in verse 47, it says, Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he was like. So this person hears the sayings and does them. I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The wonderful juxtaposition is if you read one more verse in verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation and against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Same message, same opportunity, same seed is sown out. What does one do with it? There are those who hear and do, and there are those who hear and it never moves to action. We cannot be those people who do not move to action. Otherwise, we become like this individual. The fall was great. Or we're deceiving ourselves. This is just the truth of Christianity. It's very easy to have conversations and do nothing from it. We have to be those who look and see. And those lessons that, I mean, we, as a congregation, there are so many trials that I know people were going through in the leading up to process of getting to the Spring Holy Days. Have we forgotten about them? The children of Israel forgot about them pretty quickly. Oh, Pharaoh's going to kill us. We don't have any water. This water tastes bad. Where's our food? Right? They forgot about them very quickly. We can very quickly forget about them. It's I mentioned that our faith can be as strong as the next trial. And then, I'm just not sure God's going to take care of me anymore. I just don't know. I don't know if that man is going to drop again like it has every day for 40 years, right? We can have that. But that's why I love the example of the miracle of the manna, because it shows God's there, even if it becomes a rote thing for us. I've got to go collect manna again. That's a miracle. Don't forget it, right? We can read and understand what is in the book. That's a miracle. Don't forget it, right? We have to be willing to see what God is showing us. We have to be willing to hear what He is telling us. And that is shown through our willingness to act upon it. The words of life should produce action. Again, I think another great example here from Luke 6 is that the action that it was for the individual who was wise is he started building on that thing that he knew was solid. He started building on that thing that he knew was solid. That's what we need to be doing when we hear. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Turn with me there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Companion verse to Luke. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Remember what I talked about, how do we get rid of leaven? Even if it's in there and it's in the lump, how do we get rid of it? You cook it. You give it some heat. You beat on it. The rains descend. The floods come. And if we're hearing, actually hearing and acting upon, listening and doing something with it, then it doesn't matter if there's heat. It doesn't matter if there are rains or floods or wind. It will not fall. Build our house on that rock. Hearing alone is incomplete without action. We must follow the hearing with action. Hearing should lead to doing. Hearing without listening, being exposed to God's Word, sermons, scriptures that we read. If we don't let that change us, it's just hearing. And over time, if you're hearing the same thing over and over, but you're not incorporating it or acting upon it, you know what happens? You don't even hear it anymore. Ask people who live next to the subway or close to an airport. I've got the highway right out my back, you know, our backyard. It's amazing. Unless I focus on it, forgot that it was that close. And this is a beautiful time of year because the trees are starting to fluff out. They get the feathers, leaves. Dr. Seuss, right? Feathery trees? The kerfuffle tree? I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to stop before I just go too deep. The trees, their leaves are showing. And then it's like, I forget that it's there for 4 months during the summer. You're like, no, there is no highway there. The whole point of this is that if we're hearing the same thing and not acting on it, we can so quickly have it become white noise. And it never actually crosses the physical to the neural barrier into our brain. Likewise, with spiritual long enough. We're here in Matthew. Let's turn forward a few chapters to chapter 13. Read a couple verses that we didn't read earlier. Matthew chapter 13, verse 16 and 17. You read the verses before this? Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. He says to his disciples, after quoting Isaiah, he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." See, that Israel, when Isaiah is talking to them, is they had eyes, but they refused to see. They had ears, but they refused to hear. And what he tells his disciples here, he says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they do see, and your ears, for they do hear." Why? Well, because, as we've gone over, humility. They were tuning out the other noises that they were hearing, and they were willing to act on it. They did so. When he called them, he says, follow me. They say, all right, here we go. I'm going to leave the fishing nets. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to come and I'm going to follow you. Matthew was established as a tax collector. He had a good gig. Action, all of these things that we see them doing. And he tells them, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it. And to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Why? Well, we see examples of that in Scripture. They stop up their ears. They run at Stephen. We don't want to hear what you're saying. It goes against how I see myself. I'd rather get rid of you than take on to myself the ugliness that you're projecting. We see this with Cain. I'd rather get rid of my brother than admit that there's a problem with how I came before God. Our responsibility is to be active hearers and doers. God expects us not to just physically hear the words that He gives, but He expects us to listen to them on the spiritual plane, to understand them, and to put them into action. Let's make sure that we have ears to hear.